The man hailed as the NBA's first great big man died last night. George Mikan played from 1947 to 1956 in the National Basketball Association and led the Minneapolis Lakers, the then Minneapolis Lakers, to five of the first six NBA championships. At 6'10", Mikan's power and dominance changed the way the game was played and caused the NBA to change some of its rules. When Mikan retired from basketball, he went on to become a lawyer. Later, he was commissioner of the American Basketball Association, where he helped introduce the red, white, and blue ball and the three-point line. He also lobbied to bring basketball back to Minnesota after the Lakers moved to Los Angeles in 1960. Mikan suffered from diabetes and kidney failure. He was 80 years old. George Oberle co-authored Mikan's autobiography, Unstoppable, the story of George Mikan, the first NBA superstar. He's with us from his home in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Before we talk about George Mikan as an NBA superstar, what was he like as a man?
George was a great man. The term gentle giant really fit George. He was I'd never known him to treat anybody without respect and kindness. And he's you know, just here he was a very national figure that was very personal with anybody he met.
Yet he was a tough guy on the court.
Oh yes, yeah. When George was between the lines, so to speak, that he was very powerful, very tough, and I guess he led the league in fouls for a couple of years, and you know, suffered several broken bones as a result of his tough play. But that's the way he played. He was hard nosed and always played to win.
He also led the league in scoring one year, just over 28 points per game. And somebody might listen to that and say, "Yeah, it's not so bad." This was before the 24-second clock.
Yeah, that's right. Which some of the George's play helped to bring about. There was a famous game that the Lakers played that against the Fort Wayne Zollner Pistons, who tried to freeze out the Lakers by just dribbling the ball around and not passing it in, so that George couldn't get his hands on it. And the final score was like 19-17, and shortly thereafter, they decided we have to change some rules here and put in the 24-second clock.
We're talking with Joseph Oberle about his friend and co-author George Mikan, who died earlier today. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Even before George Mikan joined the NBA, he attended DePaul University. I don't think he ever played basketball in high school, yet he got to DePaul and was an instant superstar.
He was. He played a little bit in high school, just kind of under the radar, because his parents wanted him to become a priest at Quigley High School in Chicago. And as he got interested in playing a little basketball, he didn't let him know he was playing. And one day, when he did go to DePaul to play, his dad noticed in the headlines of the newspaper that there's a Mikan playing basketball at DePaul and doing quite well. And he says, "George, I didn't know we had any other relatives in Chicago." So George had to come clean at that point, and that's kind of from that point on, he gave up his vocation to be a basketball player.
He was 6'10", and at the time there was no goaltending rule. After George Mikan took the court for the DePaul Blue Demons, they had to change that.
Yes, they did, and yeah, he was bigger than most of the players at the time, and the way they'd set things up, they'd have four players out on the perimeter, and George would guard the basket, and any ball that came in, he'd jump up and grab it or knock it to one of his teammates and start a fast break the other way. It soon became pretty obvious that something had to be done to change that.
When he got to the NBA, as you mentioned, the league changed some rules. But I think there was one championship game where the opposing team had to come up with a formula. The way to beat the Lakers was you had to find a way to beat George Mikan.
That's, you know, anything they could do. I recall one championship game against the NBA playoff game against the Syracuse Nationals, where they'd heard in the locker room the night before one of George's teammates mention how he was allergic to smoke. And the next night, everybody in that arena, man, woman, and child, came with a cigar, cigarette, and I remember Vern Mickelson telling me that one of George's teammates said, "You couldn't see down the other end of the court. It was so smoky in there."
After years after retirement, George Mikan was also active in trying to get the NBA to provide more money for athletes like himself, who played when guys made very little money and had very little to retire on.
Yeah, he had been up until very recently vocal on trying to increase the pension for the old-time players. You know, in many of the players I talked to in writing the book, they're all, you know, very grateful to the kind of things that George did to help set the league up for them, where they have all kinds of financial security and everything else. And I think George was wanting to help out all the other players that came before these guys that didn't quite have the contracts they did.
Boston Celtics great Bob Cousy said today when told of the death of George Mikan, "He literally carried the league. He gave us recognition and acceptance when we were at the bottom of the totem pole in professional sports. He transcended the game. People came to see him as much as they came to see the game." And the first of the great NBA big men succeeded, of course, by Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, Willis Reed, and Shaquille O'Neal these days, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, of course. Joseph Oberle, thank you very much for being with us to remember George Mikan.
Thank you very much.
Joseph Oberle is the co-author of Unstoppable, the story of George Mikan, the first NBA superstar. George Mikan died last night. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Cummins.